Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is another episode of your favorite podcast called Let's Talk Comics. I
Yeah,
forget the
that's
name.
it.
And
Was trying to
by
remember.
and I by no means I don't think this is anyone's favorite podcast. I'm just saying it's your favorite podcast that happens to be called Let's Go Talk Comics. Because I know there's another podcast literally called Let's Talk Comics. So out there, I think I've seen it once, but refuse to listen to it or click on it, or I'm sure get they're much better, but it's fine.
We are your favorite podcast hosted by two brothers. No, that well, there's probably I don't know how
there's
much
probably lots.
other competition we have. We might have more competition there,
It's your
but
favorite podcast
yeah.
with Brandon in there. Oh wait, you do like
Oh,
podcasts that actually really he actually edits his shows and they're probably better, I think. Zach, call out.
we're yeah. Gotta have one.
Anyway,
Yes,
this is a
yes.
podcast. Let's just leave that at that, period. This is a
And
podcast you are listening to.
right. And me, I'm Brandon.
And me, that's Ryan. You're hearing right now.
You're probably wondering how we got into this situation. Yes.
We're trying to get back on the regular schedule. 2 weeks ago, we think we did. I can remember we did the comic called Robin Dies at Dawn. That's it. And then we did all that. And then I think we promised to do something, and we're not doing that thing that we promised we'd do. I think it was like some DC comic book, but we don't have the app yet, so we're gonna go to the one we actually do have. So but we're not doing Punisher, tell you that. We're not doing that.
Not that one either.
I refuse to. not refuse, but but no, instead, and I
It's
think
for the best not to.
yeah, exactly. We're doing for this episode, right, it was Brandon's suggestion. It is called, for anyone who wants to read along, it's called The Amazing Spider-Man Annual, number 21. I think my headphones just came up.
Oh, it's
Can
okay.
you hear me?
Yeah,
All
I think so.
right.
We hear you.
Maybe I'll edit this. We'll find out. Probably not. Anyway, I was gonna read a text stream, but I think my headphones like go to
Oh.
get connected from my phone whenever I try to read a text message. So, Brian, why did you choose this? Why did you choose this particular comic?
That's a great question. Mostly it came up. I wanted to change things up in our reading order for what's coming up. Not just because I completely forgot we didn't have the DC app, but it's a good way to swing back over to Marvel. And who better to swing along with now? Never mind. Who better to come along with us than Spider-Man? Happening right before the release of Madame Web, I've already seen a lot of reviews coming out, and we'll see how it is. We don't right now we don't know right now how it's done in terms of box office reviews. It could be country's biggest movie by the time this podcast releases, but it was a good opportunity to kind of look back on the storied history of Spider-Man and his many foes and friends, and especially Valentine's Day, right after today's recording, not to date it, but it ties in with our issue being the wedding issue of Spider-Man with Peter Parker marrying Mary Jane Watson.
Exactly. So when you guys think of Valentine's Day, you think of two brothers talking about comic books. And then especially if you when you think about Valentine's Day, you think of Madame Web. So go see Madame Web in theaters this Valentine's Day. For some reason, it's in theaters in on Valentine's Day. And I like that you suggest this because like you're like, just like it very ironically, just like the movie Madame Web, I'm like, oh, he must be suggesting this because like Madame Web must be in like this. No, she's not. She's not in this comic.
Not
Just
even
like that,
close.
Spider-Man's not in Madame Web whatsoever, and somehow is like in the same universe. I don't know, but not really though. I think they're trying to get around that. So it's
I
interesting.
did spend a lot of today trying to find if any of the plot had leaked or if anyone had updated it, because I'm like, I just want to see what happens. Like, I just want to know how, how insane this movie gets and just see if there's any tie-ins for anything. Unfortunately, I couldn't find anything or in this comic either. But a good issue, nonetheless.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. We both read this comic book and both thoroughly took notes and we're ready to dive deep into this and go over all the details with you all right now. So listen up, jerks, and hear us talk about this comic book. I have no other transition. That was a bad segue, but I'm just going to get into it so we can start talking about it. So, so like I said, it's The Amazing Spider-Man Giant-Sized Annual number 21. I think it came out in 1987. It's subtitled The Special Wedding Issue. It was written by, plotted by Jim Shooter. He's famous Marvel editor and writer, I believe. And then scripted by David Michelinie. The pencils are by Paul Ryan.
Same Paul Ryan?
Yeah, same guy.
The political candidate. The political guy.
weird career. So we start up somewhere in New York. That's surprising for a Spider-Man comic, but we'll see where it goes from there. But it's showing a bunch of police cars driving down, and then we see surprise, but not really a surprise if you know the timeline. It's Spider-Man in his black suit. It's it hasn't been revealed if it's the symbiote yet, right? I think
that's right. Yeah.
So that's Venom though. He's in Venom.
That's him.
Or Venom's on him, I think.
He's
that's him.
All up on Spider-Man. Yeah. He's got that shit all just all up in him. Yeah. He's looking good. I guess the color and the issue. I'm gonna correct myself. The color on the suit for this issue, because there's some coloring stuff we'll get to later on that.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Kind of cracked me up a little bit, but coloring on the suit, I really love. Especially, it's something they do in the animated series a lot. For the black suit, it is like they'll put like the blue hues on it, or like the purple hue, kind of like on as like a detail. It really pops. It looks so good every time.
It looks really good. Yeah, it's really good. Design for his suit for a while. It's really cool design.
Yeah,
cool change up. So. Like you said, with the colors, so speaking of which, so for instance, as you can see in like the background, like all the civilians are purple, and then the next page, all the cops are red for some reason. So they're definitely like, let's just do a rush job on this. We don't need to.
We're good. color them red. We'll go through the point. They get the point.
Yeah.
The bad guys are red.
They know that they're people.
Oh, shit. Yeah. I think Spider-Man, there was a insert here where he was like, I better equip my detective vision, and then it makes everybody colored and very indicative colors instead.
Yeah, makes sense. It's weird that he doesn't know his suit can do that yet, but it's really interesting.
Really crazy.
Yeah, so you say he's looking at the what's going on in the street. It looks like some cops are ready to go into this store, this just normal looking store. They got their shotguns ready. They're like, okay, man, let's take this down. And then they're like, why are they doing that? And then all of a sudden you see the Louis Fine Clothes store. It explodes and there's lots of lightning bolts coming out and it's like zooping up everyone. And then the next panel after that, it shows Electro with his shirt off for some reason. And he's saying, that should teach his public servants to keep their distance. Arnold, my shirt. He's like, here you go, boss. And then he's thinking, gotta be careful. One touch from his bare hand would fry me like a strip of bacon. I'm not going to read every single line. So weird dialogue. And then Electro's putting his shirt on very slowly. He's like, take a look at this, guys. And they're all like, yep, see it. You can put your shirt on. And just keep going. It's Do the job. Yeah. See this? Yeah, man.
Like I didn't know your power came from you not having a shirt on. It doesn't. I just like doing this.
I love it. Love having my shirt off. I love it. It's like in front of hostages too. They're like, "Why is he doing this?" And the henchmen are like, "I don't know. I don't.
We really don't know." It's like the henchman in Iron Man 3 when he's like,
"Oh yeah,
these guys are so weird. I'm just gonna get out of here."
So he slowly puts his shirt on and he's saying, the police bow, whatever he's saying. And he says, like, the power of Electro. And then he puts his mask on, his dumb little mask on, and comes outside. And then he's like, oh, and then he starts exploding, like, cars and zapping people, you know?
Yeah, like, he starts tearing shit up. Like, he goes crazy. This is, like, the
very
most chaos
to his costume and his just very weird persona that he just starts, like, going ham on everyone. It's very, like, Whiplash. It's, like, very, like, stark difference between the first and second page.
Oh, so, absolutely.
So he's, zapping people. He zaps another guy, and then they're all like, and this one guy's a gun. He's like, guess what? He keeps us around for, and I think it's to, like, but then, so wait, does Electro not kill people? I guess he just electrocutes them, and then has other people kill them?
I think so. Yeah.
Cool. I mean, I guess it's like he doesn't want to kill them, but he's like, you guys can. He's like Batman, where he's like, I can't kill you, but also I'm not going to save you. And he's like, that's not the weird loophole.
That's not going to hold up in court, Batman. Like, you got to talk up. on this. Also, don't say that in the first place. Maybe
it's like his lawyer. Yeah, like don't
say that. just come ringing the mic. Excuse me. What do you mean? I am the knight that you can't be credited as that on the stand. Not vengeance. You were Batman, comma the.
Your legal name, Batman.
Yeah.
This one guy's about to kill us. Top, and then Spider-Man whips the gun out of his hand and he's like, what the? And then you see him get pulled up and Spider-Man's like, he's got all tied up. And then but he's like, but you probably heard that one before. And then everyone's like, kill him. And it's weirdly then not the bad guys are saying that, just regular people are saying that. They're just like, kill that guy. I'm like,
yeah, Spider-Man. Get him.
Get him. Oh. let's see. And then so he's swinging around. He's like he's webbing people up, and Electro's trying to zap him. And he's like, oops. And he's making some more jokes. He's like, whoa, don't that guy's Duracells ever run down? You're pretty impressive against flesh and blood, Sparky. But let's see you against solid steel. And then he throws him at them and he says, what the? And then, he's like, oh yeah, because he's like, yeah, of course I can. Yeah, it's steel. Like, is steel magnetic? So, and then he has like, because Electro has like, he can do that. I think, right? I don't remember a lot of Electro things.
Yeah, that's one of those things where I was a little bit confused in terms of like their character choice for this issue, because I imagined like the wedding issue would pit him against like someone who's like integral to Spider-Man's past, or like would have him face an obstacle, you know, that is either similar or sets him up for the conflict with a marriage. But I like how they're just like, nah, Electro, that's good enough for today, for this one. Yeah. And
bring out the C-list.
like, bring them all out. It's I love Spider-Man's plan here, where he's like, well, he's shooting electricity at me. What if I just fling a door right into his face as hard as I can? And I'm surprised it didn't just slice his head off like right there. It's
like, oh,
he's so close. Yeah. Ooh, didn't think that would work.
So he throws like a tire at him, and then I think it just bounces on the ground, and he's like, okay. And he just gets more annoyed than like actually being. He's like, okay, stop. Okay, he's like, okay. And then he's Electro like shoots a building, and then the brick starts to fall because it's New York and everything there's terrible and terribly built, and then it's starting to fall down on this lady, and because she fell, And then he's holding up the brick wall, and then he's like, wait a minute, why don't I just throw this wall at him? So he says it makes a halfway decent shield, but my muscles are going to feel the strain for weeks. And then it just falls on him and on Spider-Man, and Spider-Man's like, oh god, let me see what else I can throw. And then so he picks up he throws a sewer grate at Electro.
Yeah.
And but Electro dodges it. However, it hits a fire hydrant, and then water starts spouting out, and it's like hitting Electro, and it says, and I would have had to find some other way to short your circuits, and so that's how we got him. So he makes him a little bit wet, and that's how you defeat Electro.
That's how you get him every time. Yeah, it's
every time, works every time.
Because we all know when electricity is around, first thing you do, throw some water on it. It's a, mm-hmm. it's how you just get past it. It's how you solve this problem.
Yeah. So then the cops are like, what are you doing? He's like, oh, give me a break, Spider-Man says. And he's, and he just jumps over a building. He gets the camera, and he's like, oh, I'm going to sell these pictures to the Bugle, because, you know, J. Jonah Jameson always loves those fucking pictures. So, and then so he's taking a few more pictures, and then he starts swinging across town. He's like, and then he's like, I'm just a fella just a couple of days away from getting married. So, and then so he goes to another part of town. There's like some bank robbers, and they're just trying to drive away. And then I see the Spider-Man's, you know, webbing it up and stopping it. And if you need to jump in, I'm not going to read the dialogue.
Yeah, no, it's okay. Super boring. it's pretty boring.
But so he webs him up, and then he goes to another part of town, and looks like he's going to his house. And then then he's just like taking his shirt off and just walking around, because like, you got Spider-Man's body, you gotta show that stuff off.
It's like, yeah. I was thinking that, yeah. It's definitely, I do like how there's a few lines in here where I really wanted to stop the writer and be like, are you doing this intentionally? Like, the phrasing here, there's some, you got to record yourself and just
on
listen
this page?
To this back. Yeah.
All right, I'll read it through. Yeah. So let me know what, I'll find out. So
yeah,
he's saying to himself, that was quite a workout. Wish I had time for a rub down or even a nap. But I'd better settle for a quick glass of cow juice and a couple of aspirin. Is this an alien writing this? No. What's it? Milk? Cow. Let's say cow juice. I think more people get that.
Yeah.
I got a lot of pictures to develop in only an hour of working time before. And then it says Mary Jane gets here. Oh, okay. Because it's extended. I thought it was just like the panel just telling us, and Mary Jane is here.
It's just narration. Yeah, like stage directions. Narrator.
Yeah, right.
Mary Jane's
here.
Entered.
And so it says Mary Jane, and then and she says, hey Tiger, I hear someone's had a busy day. Spider-Man's been on the newscast all afternoon. And he says, hi MJ, here, let me get those. And then he says, missed you. So what's with all the heroic activity, hero? Get bored when MJ's not around? And then he says, ha ha ha, no, it just makes me feel good. I had the ha 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 because it makes him feel good.
It really works, because so much of this, like, he reads like a robot at some, in like, or like an alien, as you said. Yeah, yeah, just right. Like, just the way, there's something about, like, he has a real, I don't know. And I also want to talk about on this page, there's a poster in the apartment. I have been trying to figure out what it's supposed to mean. And it's Nagel. And it looks like a red-haired man with sunglasses.
Mm-hmm.
Like on the back. I don't know if that's like a reference to something or mm-hmm. like an inside joke. It's making me lose my mind a little bit.
It's very weird, yeah. It's
yeah.
Weird put into a comic. And I did need to comment on MJ's thing. She says, so what's with all the heroic activity, hero, get bored when MJ's not around? And I just want Peter to be like, have we not gone over this before? He's like, the whole great power, great responsibility thing. I'm not just bored, okay? I'm also, that was part of my job. I was photographing. That's how I make money. Oh, do you have any fucking questions? Just like talking before they get married. You seem a little angry. It's like, no, I'm not stressed about anything.
Fucking angry.
I'm just about to get fucking married. I make $200 a month.
We live in a shoebox.
Yeah.
And everyone's dying that I know. Yeah, I'm totally not stressed at all. Also, yeah, yes. He does have a little bit later on, like, the craziest stress nightmare I think you could have, where I'm like, man, this is real.
So, keep going. They're gonna, yeah. They're talking, and he's like, they do a little nod to his old costume, the red and blue one. She's like, how about the replica of your old costume, the one you got in East Berlin? I kind of like the red and blue, but since you don't use them anymore, and it says like refer to Spider-Man versus Green, yeah.
I do want to say I do like the use of the ellipses here, because it makes it sound like she's like trying to start an argument, but like not really, where it's like, but since you don't use them anymore, I mean, we can't throw them out. I mean, I'm just saying, you have like a lot of stuff in there. We should probably clean it out of there, but yeah, mm-hmm. That's okay. I just want to make sure. Just okay.
Yeah, like it's funny because it's like in that scene in Arrested Development where like, oh, like you, in those Hollywood shows, they always have like such set dressings, and like literally in the closet, there's one thing in it. It's in the old Spider-Man costume. And, like, there's nothing in his closet just except for that one thing. And then like that's a so jacket. Good. Not the, a
yeah.
Jacket. yeah, so he's just saying like throwing one thing away won't make much difference. Forget it. There's something we can worry about after you've moved in. I'm just gonna say like I'm thinking like how it would be in my head. Like right now, yeah. We better call your Aunt May my Aunt May and your Aunt Anna and set up a time to meet them. And then I can hardly wait to see their fucking faces when they hear our plans. and then she says, why don't you go on and take your snaps over to the Bugle? Why don't you just do your job? Why don't you take your fucking pictures over to the Bugle? I'll call May and Anna from the limo because I make most of the money. And he's like, thanks for reminding me. Limo? And she's like, Calvin needs me for a shoot. Says I'm his favorite model. So he sent a limousine for me. They were nice enough to drop it by so I could drop off my stuff. See you later. He's like, limo? And he's just like, God, I make so little money. I'm so pathetic. And he's
so fucking poor.
Sometimes I forget the kind of world Mary Jane is used to. The glamour, the excitement, the money. I mean, I have to consult a financial advisor before I buy a subway token. Sure hope I can keep up once we're married. And then it cuts over to the Bugle. And
I do love that panel. When he's talking about he has to consult a financial advisor, because there's something about the artwork in that panel that his eyes look a little too far apart, and it makes me laugh every time I look where he looks like a fish man looking out.
It's like that Squidward meme where he's like looking out and like Patrick and SpongeBob are like playing outside and he's looking through the blinds and stuff.
That's amazing.
He cuts to the Bugle and Robbie Robertson's is that his name? Robbie Robertson, like the guy from the band?
I think so. Oh. Yeah.
That's cool. That's awesome.
That's pretty dumb. Yeah.
Let's see. Well, I don't know. They're just talking about Spider-Man pictures, and then he says, thanks, Robbie. I'll pick up my pay vouchers. He's like, oh yeah, he's like, wait, I will show you something. Well, I have a lot to do, but what the fuck is it? Tell me. He's like, okay. You could call it a little. And it's a surprise party for Peter at the office.
That's so nice.
And then
he's all of his like, friends.
It's all his stinky friends, like, you know, such as I don't know any of these people. Oh, but then, J. Jonah Jameson shows up and he's like smoking a cigar. And he says, Peter, my boy, you've come a long way since I took you under my wing. And proud of you, darned proud. And then some fucking guy says, hey, what's gotten into old Flintheart? I don't know, but I hope it stays. But And then Jay Jameson, says, I've got two words of advice for you, son. Be sure. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm terrible reading. It says, I've got two words of advice for you, son.
Be sure. His dialogue's insane. Yeah.
It is pretty insane.
Yeah.
Marriage is a mighty
plan. Be sure. He's like, he comes off like Matthew McConaughey in like Wolf of Wall Street, where he's just like all up in his face.
He says, marriage is a big, mighty, mighty big step. Once you say I do, there's no turning back. Comprende? Yeah, Jonah, thanks. And Peter's saying to himself, thing is, I do understand. For all of Jonah's big boneheadedness, he's a wise man. And he's right. Marriage is a big step. Am I sure, really sure, that I'm ready for it? And then someone's saying, Mr. Robertson, Martha's on line 3. Better go talk to the wife, Robbie. There's another thing, Parker. Never get henpecked. Ha ha ha. Everyone laughs in the room. What's that mean? What's the hell?
So henpecked?
Oh, like whipped, I guess, back in the 80s, yeah. I guess. Oh, okay.
I looked it up and I looked up because I want. Because then I read the line from Robbie where he's like, before I go, Jonah, I thought he was going to be like, go fuck yourself.
Right. Old man, piece like, of shit.
Yeah. It like has that energy. Yeah, he's reaching into his vest. I think he's like
pulling out a middle finger.
Exactly that. Yeah, he's just like, oh, Adrian, real quick, fuck you, and then just walking out. It's
and then
he does something better.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He says, before you go, Jonah, I'm sure you'll want to sign this bonus check to help Peter with his wedding. He's like, what? The one from all of us? And he's like, oh. He's like, of course. Yes, of course. And he says, well, why do you have to sign? Be signing a card, not a check? Like,
right.
Or, yeah, wait, what? I'm sorry.
It was a different time. Says, they were like, yeah, just give him some money. You're good.
Here you go, Pete, buddy. Enjoy. Now I'd better see about processing those pay vouchers. I know every little. Okay, I'm just gonna. God, they're talking about pay vouchers so much. Okay, skip to the next room.
They love. It's the most mundane details.
Yeah,
like, they love getting into.
Keep hitting that. Keep hitting that.
Waiters love it. They love accounting details.
Right.
Of our characters.
Let's see. Cuts to the next room, and I don't know. He's thinking to himself, and then Betty Brandt, I think. Yeah, she's like, yes. Pete, how are you? And he's like, hey, Betty, say I missed you at the party. So she's like, party? Yeah, sort of a bachelor party. Not really. Mary Jane and I are getting married in a couple days. You know. Oh yes, I'd forgotten. Sorry, but Ned and I will be definitely at the wedding. We wouldn't miss it for the world. I have to go now, Peter. Bye. That sounds like she's an alien going back to her planet. I have to go now, Peter. Bye. Whoa. Betty's husband, Ned Leeds, died weeks ago. But she's having a rough time accepting it. How's this coming from? That's sad. I love it. Betty once. Could have married her. You're such a piece of shit, Peter. And that sucks. She's like delusional, thinking about her dead husband that died just weeks ago. Man, I could have married her, though. Just saying. But who's this for, Peter? Who's this for?
What the fuck are you? Yeah.
Why are you thinking these things? These are fucked up.
I love it. Yeah, this made me laugh so hard. I love the fact that, like, Betty is going through the grieving process and, like...
Really a nervous breakdown.
Yeah. And Peter's just like, damn, I could have gotten that. It could have worked out.
I have and could have. But I met a model, so he's like, nope. Never mind.
Sorry, Betty. Sorry. Yeah, he's insane. I love it.
And then he continues that thought. He said, but Spider-Man came between us, and Spider-Man also helped screw up her life with Ned. I just hope he doesn't mess up. Nah, I won't even think about that. You know what happened? Did he kill Ned?
That's a good question. I know I looked it up for Craven's Last Hunt because I know he talked about like he was like really broken up about Ned Leeds for some reason. He's like, oh man, like of all people, Ned Leeds, not like Aunt May or Mary Jane. That's what I should be thinking of. Trying to see. So I think he was definitely okay. So I think he did eventually become the Hobgoblin. I think that's Oh wait, no. His character was killed off in the one shot, Spider-Man versus Wolverine. Doesn't exactly say how, but even there's a good quote about it on Wikipedia from Glenn Greenberg writing about it, where Owsley let Tom DeFalco and I continue with our plans without telling us in advance that he was going to kill Ned. We had no heads up until Spider-Man versus Wolverine came out that Ned Leeds was killed in that story. I can't speak to why he did it, but I can't speak to the way he did it. He kept it a big secret until we felt screwed. It was like a very nice way of saying, like, hey man, fucking big thanks for nothing for telling us like one of our characters is getting killed off. Like it's an insane creative process with that. Insane. But yeah. But yes. Back to our issue.
He goes back to his apartment and he's like, oh, he brought a ring, and I love Mary Jane's response because any woman reading this would commiserate with her. She's like, oh, a ring. I thought we were going to go to get the ring together. I mean, I did help pick it out. He's like, I know, but I got a bonus from the Bugle, and the jewelry was on the way. So you hand it to me when I'm elbow deep in linguine? That's about as romantic as heat rash. And he's like, really? She's like, yeah, really. And he jumps upside down and sticks to the wall like a fucking dipshit. And he's like, prithee, fair maiden. And he's just, now he's just digging in and being more of a douche. And he's just saying,
yeah,
like, he's being like super sarcastic. He's like, is this romantic enough for you? I'm talking to Shakespeare. And like, prithee, fair maiden, once thou acceptest this paltry token of my heartfelt and honest affection, huh, wouldst thou? And then she says, Peter, you're strange and wonderful. Now, will you please come down? So the subtext is this, Peter, you're strange and wonderful, but you just demonstrated how you have, like, superhuman abilities, so you could, like, kill me at any time. So, and she's like, I hate cleaning footprints off the ceiling. And then, but she's smiling while saying it, so it's like, she's still angry, but she's like, okay, I guess I should smile because he could, like, rip me in half whenever he wants to.
That's such a good... Yeah, I had the first thought when she was, like, making like, steaming hot pasta. I'm like, oh, right now? Just give me a fucking second. I gotta put three different things down. Yeah. Yeah, just, it really asks a lot of you to be like, pouring pasta out into a strainer, and then your partner is just like, hey, I got this ring for you, right? Do you want it right now?
Waving your face. Like, no, I'm busy. What the fuck?
Fucking Jesus. Yeah. God, it's amazing.
So later, I think they just finished the dinner that she made. And then he's like, Joan, of all people, after all those years of yelling at me, he almost acted like, well, my father or something. And then she's like, sounds like you really, really considered his advice. You're not having second thoughts or anything, are you? And he's like, me? Oh, no, of course not. Why are you? And she's like, well, certainly not. How silly. And then the phone rings. They're like, oh, fucking, yeah, thank God. We don't have to talk about marriage. You know, we're about to get married. And then she answers the phone. She says, hey, Bruce, how are things on the set? And she's like, I haven't changed, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. This part. And she says, who was that? She's like, oh, someone I know from Hollywood wants me to take his villa in the south of France to talk me out of my marriage madness. He's kind of wild. And Peter's like, yeah, sounds like it. And then she's like, gosh, I didn't realize how late it was. I have to tell Will I can't make it. And where does he want to take you? The moon? She's like, no,
dummy. I can fucking take you to the moon.
Yeah, he's like, I know
you the Avengers.
We can get them.
Yeah.
And she says, no, dummy Willie's a designer. He wants me to do a fashion layout on Sunday, our wedding day. And he's like, okay, guess I'll see you this afternoon at Aunt May's. We got a few things to do. So fucking wordy.
It's so
I'll see you later. Be careful, all that stuff. Yeah. Anyway, so moving on to the next scene. So next scene is and it's the same fucking scene. And he's looking outside and there's like, oh, there's a limo again.
That
oh,
actually that's the exact framing as a Squidward meme when he's looking out the window too.
Right.
It's like, oh man. it's that, and I had a question for you. I wanted to talk about Peter's his fashion choices in this issue. Wearing a bright red suit and blue undershirt. Mm. Would you wear this?
If I was Spider-Man? Also, no, because that's like his original colors, right?
Right.
It's, I guess that's what they're trying to go for. It's like red and blue, like his, like, but also,
it did
no.
take me a while.
It
to...
way. No, I wouldn't. First, it looks ugly. Second, you'd be like inviting people to compare you to Spider-Man. They'd be like, what looks like Spider-Man?
You look like, oh, you
dipshit, look like
Spider-Man colors on, man. Don't you? It took me the entire issue to realize it was his colors, and the whole time I'm like, man, that looks like shit.
It
like
really
he
does.
Is dressed so bad. That is such a bad combination of
it's
colors.
Like ketchup red jacket and pants, and then like a nice like blue, like but like a nice blue undershirt, but like the jacket and pants are the bad. And it doesn't go well, obviously. So he's just moping. He's walking out of the apartment and something else. So next scene. So she's Mary Jane's at Willie Smith's place, and they're talking about design. And she's like, sorry, Willie, normally I'd kill to be part of the video shoot in the Bahamas, but he's like, I understand. You found Mr. Wright. Listen, expect a little surprise to arrive in the next few days, okay? After all, tradition says the bride should wear something new, huh? And she's like, oh, you're an angel, bye. And then she leaves, and some fucking creep, who looks like Clark Kent, actually.
I was going to say, 100%, he looks so much like Clark Kent, yeah.
And he's like, excuse me, are you Mary Jane Watson? And she's like, that depends, who are you? And he said, I was told to give you this tape, you can listen to it in that Ferrari over there. He's in it. and then he says, she's like, wait, what? And he's like, bye. And then she's like, I guess I'll hop in this car. Oh, what the heck? Worst could happen, I get arrested for attempted car theft, right? No, the worst thing that happens is probably a bomb in the car and you're going to die.
What are you doing?
What are you doing? Oh, I'm just so pretty. Everyone just gives me stuff. This is like a normal occurrence. It's like the 30 Rock episode with like John Hamm.
Right.
Yeah, this just happens every day. I just get things for free.
Now I like to think that like she's in like a Mr. Magoo situation where she's constantly like almost dying, but Peter has to like swing by real quick the last second to like grab her out of a manhole, or like before a taxi hits her and she's like, oh Jesus.
So like okay, let's try
push her out of the way.
Let's look at the I don't usually have to look at the traffic. So she pops a cassette in the Ferrari and says, if you listen to this, you're hooked. I knew I could talk sense into you. And it says, it's Bruce. Check the glove box, baby. And then the tickets are for Paris. We can drive to the villa from there. Pick me up at the hotel on your way to the airport, okay? And you can keep the Ferrari. I've got another one. And she's thinking, oh, Bruce, you'll never change still. It would be fun. And then cuts to the next scene is later in Suburban Street in Queens, Aunt May's house. And he's like, there's the house that I raised. But okay, it's just says hi to Aunt May, just like looking through pictures, looking at the old photo album of little Uncle Ben and his dorky ass glasses with his dorky
little sweater vest get up.
Yeah, little sweater. And what's he holding? With a microscope.
Like microscope. Oh yeah.
And he's just thinking, oh Jesus. An origin story. It's just recapping how
it's
he.
So yeah.
He's like, He's like, I got bit and I was climbing up buildings and I became a big TV star. And then I just let some guy fucking walk around and he shot Uncle Ben. And then I killed him in a warehouse. And wait, what was that last part? Nope, nothing. I didn't kill him. he tripped over a pipe. That's my story that I'm going with.
It's crazy. He tripped over the pipe and his head just went flying like right off into the water. It's weird. He tripped on the pipe into my fist and it it like shattered his whole sternum. It's crazy.
I don't know how that happened. I don't know how I got in my closet either though. It's and then it just says I learned to use my powers responsibly. Anyway, let's move on. And then it says, it's another recap. It's just saying, and then there's a picture of Gwen Stacy, my first real love. People always thought one day we'd get married. So did I. But the Green Goblin found out that I was Spider-Man and used Gwendy to lure me into a trap. And even though I did everything I could, she was killed when I tried to save her. Betty, Gwen, Mary Jane, is it right to do it again? To risk people's lives by letting them get close to me. And then Mary Jane's like, oh no, Aunt May's like, hey, what's up? And he's like, hey, what you doing? She's like, why are you so jumpy? You're getting nostalgic, blah, blah, blah. And then it's like, and then Mary Jane gets there. She's like,
There's one moment I want to talk about this because the way the comic text, there's sometimes where typos will come through. And the panel with Aunt May talking to Peter with the four word balloons, the one on the bottom left. So, now, Peter, how could they show you they love you if you keep them at a distance? It really tripped me up. I read that like 3 or 4 times. I was like, am I going crazy? Like, what does that sentence mean? And then I had to like be like, oh, it's just a typo. Never mind.
It's very awkwardly written, though.
Yeah.
like you said, she's like, yeah, I guess you're right. By the way, why were you looking at those old photos? She says I always get nostalgic when important changes are about to happen. What do you mean? And she's like, really, Peter, all senior citizens aren't senile. And I have seen this coming for some time. Now I'd better go see if those blueberries are burning. Why would you be cooking blueberries? I guess a pie. I guess that's
yeah. But I, like, even then, you would be like, oh, I gotta check on the pie, make sure it's not burning. Did she just, like, throw some blueberries into the oven?
I think that's more likely.
Just toss them. Yeah, he's like, ooh, I gotta check on Aunt May soon later. It's just, like, him very worried she has dementia. Like, ooh.
Yeah, right.
I gotta check on that. I'll check on that later. Yeah, that's... MJ... MJ comes in and I keep reading all their dialogue really passive aggressively now, and it makes it so much funnier. Just like, the Wild and Woolly Watson girls are here. Like, oh, hey, MJ.
Yeah.
Hello, Anna.
Damn it. Fucking, Jesus Christ. Is she as much of a like shithead in the comics as she is in the animated show? Remember when she's always like criticizing Peter?
Yeah.
She's like, God damn, Peter is always getting my fucking daughter. He's such a shit. Like, hey, Aunt, what's your favorite? Anna. She's such a fucking bitch.
She sucks so much. Yeah, it's like so awful.
So they're in the kitchen, and they're saying, the reason we asked you here is, well, Mary Jane and I have known each other for a long time, and two people know, and we've told everyone else that we're getting married, but we haven't told you two yet, so we're getting married. They're like, cool, man, why are you telling us last? And you already planned the wedding, and also all your coworkers know, and also you've invited everyone already, and it's a little weird. It seems like a little out of place.
It's definitely, in order of people you tell about your wedding, it's usually like friends, coworkers, and then the person who raised you. Never. Take Andrew.
That's usually how you do it.
Yeah, that's just how it works. Yeah.
So they're saying that's wonderful, even though they basically knew and all that. And then she says, okay, so Aunt May says, "Why, Peter, you look a bit ill. Would you like a bromo?"
What
does that mean?
I gotta look that one up too. I have no clue. I thought she was like, she was trying to bro down with him. Like,
would you like a bro down session?
Like, we just need to fucking chill, man. It's, yeah, just need to, okay. So it has to be, there's Mal Bromo, which I don't think that's what she was talking about. God, what is Bromo?
I'm going to keep going while you're looking this up.
All right.
Unless you found it.
It is the prefix referring to the element bromine. So that could be it. She could be talking about that. I don't think so. But yeah, let's keep moving.
So whatever that is, he's saying, "I'm fine. I don't need that bromo, Aunt May. Thanks for offering."
God damn
it. Stop offering me bromo. It's just that marriage as a concept is one thing, but when you apply it to yourself, well, it can be a little scary. And she's like, "Now look here, young man, you're a Parker," and she's so fucking angry. And you've got more gumption than anyone I know. You love that little girl. You fight fucking for her, and you'll let the chips fall where they may. And he's like, "Yes, ma'am." And then just make sure you give. You save a little love for me, Peter. Not the same way. I think I'm going to do different things. You meant like love in general. I will. Save.
Do you think MJ is just like off to the side? Like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on? that was so weird. Oh my god.
Oh, it just gets weirder. So they're walking outside. And it says, "And as evening falls," Peter says, "Well, that was relatively painless. Want to share a D train back to the city?" What does that mean? She's like, "No, I'm not gonna have sex with you in a train." Because that's not the train that gets back to the city. And also, I know what you're trying to say by saying D, quote unquote, D train. You want to try the D train?
Huh? What do you think?
Like, not this time. I'm gonna do something else. Whatever that is.
Oh, she's so vain. It's like, not this time. I'm gonna gotta see friend.
Decide I'm gonna go to Paris right now.
Yeah. He gets so bummed out immediately.
Yeah, he's really sad. This walks away, shitty suit, and he's like, "Friend, that's pretty generic. Wonder why MJ didn't mention her name. Oh, well, she's going to a bridal shower, something chicks do, who fucking knows." And then he's going up to, like, the fucking Ferrari, and this dickhead's like, "Bonjour, mademoiselle, votre attend," just French for, like, "Hi, would you like to hop in my love machine, baby?" I think that's what it's saying. That's French for hop in. Hop in, babe. Hop in, baby. And she's like, "Oh, Bruce, I don't believe I let you talk me into this. Sweet cakes, I have not yet begun to talk." And she says, "Oh, go ahead, handsome. It's your dime." And then he sees all this happen, and Peter's like, "Oh, a two-seater. That must be why Mary Jane didn't ask me to come along." Yeah, that's probably why. Uh-huh. Right. And then he goes back to the apartment, and of course she's like walking on the ceiling, and he's like,
again,
"Oh, what's that guy?
Like a piece of shit." Yeah.
Yeah, he's just being getting footprints on the ceiling. Like,
yeah.
Sure, a sports car is bigger draw than a subway train, but MJ and I are getting married in a few days. And he's like, "Where is she?"
That's what he calls it. Oh, okay.
Yeah, right. lucky I'm not the jealous type. Yeah, right. Jealous type could get it. And then it's 2 a.m. and he's still up, and he's like, "Oh, there she is." It's like, "Mary Jane, what are you doing here?" "I got a ride from a friend, been walking around Manhattan the last few hours." And he's like, just walking. And then he's like,
I was just thinking, like, I love this because this means, like, for the past, I'm sorry, 10 p.m., 11, so about past, like 4 hours, he's just been just getting angrier, mm-hmm. just, like, stewing in his own, just doing push-ups, just being, like, fucking piece of shit and frog, I'm gonna fucking kill his ass. Like, just getting more and more angry before she gets home, mm-hmm. and just, like, I love it. Yeah, she just comes back in. It's like, oh, okay, that's fine. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so he's like, I've got a place where I usually go to think. And she's like, what's that? And he's like, and she's like, take me there. And he's like, well, okay. And then they're climbing up to the top of the Empire State Building. And she's like, what? And then, you know, and whatever. And they're saying,
yeah.
Yeah, it's like, and they're like talking, and he's like, I'm not some big ape, I'm Peter. Do you really think I'd drop you or let you be hurt in any way? And I like it. Is he gonna do like the, oh, almost dropped you, whoop, whoop, over and over again? Like,
it's one of the things where, like, I think Mary Jane, I think. Like, her concerns are valid, because it's like, yeah, it's cool being up here. Also, we're on top of a fucking building, man. Like, this is really high up. I don't have powers. You do. Yeah, you, right. You can just swing away. I have to just hope you can get us down. It's
mm-hmm.
it's a lot to ask someone to just be like, hey, real quick, let's go on the top of the Empire State Building.
Mm-hmm.
It's, yeah. I love it, though.
So she's like, what do you think when you're up here? And he's like, life, the sights, Times Square, Pan Am Building, Brooklyn Bridge. and then she's like, isn't that where Gwen? Oh, I'm sorry, Peter. And he's like, and she's like, I didn't mean to open old wounds. And he's like, that's okay. That one's healed pretty well. And then who's saying silence? Is it like the narrator, him saying silence or her? There's a caption that says
that's
silence.
That's a great question, actually. Bubbles. Right. It's pretty vague. Well, that's tough, because I was checking the last time they used the little yellow box, and it was continuing Mary Jane's her dialogue. But
yeah.
And then they're like, what if we just used it as, like, internal narration for... We're not going to tell you who.
Yeah, right? It's weird.
Interesting choice.
So next, they just start to swing back, and then he drops her off, and then he swings somewhere else, and he goes to a shitty apartment, and he's just looking at a picture of Gwen. And, like you said, the captions are, however, while Mary Jane Watson slips between satin sheets, falling quickly into... gentle slumber. It looked like senile slumber. I'm like, that's
right. Oh no. What happened?
Peter also Parker
makes the narrator sound so horny. Where he's like, yeah.
Right? Yeah. That's a new character now. It's like the Watcher. He's like, yeah. I'm watching everything.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Big moment. I need to watch it.
But it's too late. I've seen everything. I've already seen
it. Peter Parker finds sleep somewhere somewhat more elusive. His mind fixates, looking on a single track, like a stubborn dog with its jaws clamped around a bone it doesn't want to lose. He won't let go. He's looking at a picture of Gwen. The past has cost him so much, he can't help but wonder what price the future. Weirdly written. let's see. Next day, it says 9 a.m. The future arrives, and then, and he's still in his costume for the past like 7 hours. And he's
stinking it up. Yeah.
Just stinking up that costume, and
ring,
so he's
ring.
we're closed. I think just the scene has to go on. I think okay. And then, so he picks up the telephone. He says, "Hey, Mary Jane, I was thinking about you." And she's like, Peter, you won't believe the gift I just got from Will Smith. Is this right?
Willie Smith.
Will's like, hey.
Just hey, like, I got something for you.
It's the most beautiful wedding gown I've ever seen. It's original. I wish I could show it to you, but you know the groom shouldn't be see the bride before the blah 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 whatever. And then so they meet up somewhere. Oh, the license, marriage license place. And they're like, first time for both, huh? And she's like, uh huh, for us, the first time's forever, right, Peter? And he's like, forever. I never really thought of it like that. Don't worry.
He looks
2006.
He's just like
7 or whatever.
1,000 yard stare, just staring forward. Like, forever, huh?
And the narrator continues, nevertheless, once proper forms have been filled out. And then
they can show us that. Yeah. And, it's not a page count.
Let's finally cut something boring out. He says, I've got to run a couple more errands, meet you at Pentelli's for dinner. And she's like, cool, sounds good. And then it cuts to Mercy General, and he shows up and he says, time for your shot, Mr. Thompson. Better bend over. Hugh Parker, how are you doing? Not as well as you are, Flash. They told me downstairs you recovered from your bout with the Hobgoblin faster than expected. So that's interesting. Mm-hmm. And since you're going to be released tomorrow, well, I'd like you to be my best man. And he's like, hey, I heard you and MJ were finally tying the knot. I'd be honored, pal. Truly honored. And he's like, of course, as best man, I'm in charge of the bachelor party. So you'd better leave tomorrow night free. And he's like, this is kind of short notice, but I think I can round up a couple guys. That's unnecessary. I don't need to have a bunch of random dudes. Say, you look a little nervous. Maybe this is more necessary than you think. No arguments tomorrow night, 8 o'clock sharp at the coffee bean. My treat. Okay, Flash. go to a bar at least, not a coffee shop.
It's like get a pregame with a bunch of coffee and then
coffee.
it's
like Four Locos Express. Drink a bunch of coffee and then do some shots and then you're gonna have a fun time.
Go crazy. Yeah.
Fucking nuts.
I do love he gets so into the role of a best man. The fact that he's just recovering from possibly a fight with Hobgoblin, and then he's just he hops right up and he's like, let's fucking go, let's get this party started.
Just got hurt the other day. I don't care. Let's go drinking. cuts over to he's meeting with Mary Jane at the restaurant. She's showing a picture of the dress to Peter. He looks sad as shit, and he's saying, wow, that looks gorgeous. And she's like, I'm going to be so beautiful for you. I'll make you so proud you'll want to burst. Almost as proud as I am of you. And she's like, gosh, I'm sorry, Peter. I interrupted you, didn't I? What were you saying? Well, you see, Flash Thompson's throwing a bachelor party for me tomorrow. Is that all? Heck, some of my friends are for me a bash tomorrow night too. Isn't it funny how things work out? And
it's really funny how things work out. How it's such bad bachelor and bachelorette parties before their wedding. It's crazy how things work out. Yeah,
I love how it's just I'm having a party. Oh yeah, I'm having a party too. That's funny. Yeah, hilarious. End of scene.
They even had to put that. They're like, the meal concludes. That's it. Yeah, they didn't say anything.
The next panel is them walking, not in the restaurant anymore. So I'm assuming the meal concluded. We didn't need the narrator telling us. Actually, they never finished the meal. They just started. They left without paper. So. Oh, okay.
Do you think readers were like, what are they doing? They left their food.
We're gonna need a panel right here. Why are they outside? the narrator says though, for Peter Parker, who returns to a comfortless apartment, to his shitty apartment, to pace floor and ceiling once again, it seems like the night will never end. And yet it does. The following night at the Coffee Bean so it's like a bistro, so there are drinks there. So
that makes sense. Yeah.
So and it says Flash Thompson is to Peter Parker, May Lady Luck be kind, and may he never be chafed by the ties that bind. And then some other guy. Oh,
It's Harry.
Harry. Why didn't he ask Harry to be his best man? Didn't Flash Thompson bully him?
I wanted to ask about this. I was so excited. I love the fact that Peter's like, I'm getting married. I gotta find a best man. Who's gonna do? Oh, the guy who shoved me in a locker like every day of high school. Let's go. Oh,
Harry.
Who? Oh, him.
Oh, that guy. He's also here. He's not dead yet. Not yet.
Like I could be your best. Stop it. Now, Harry.
He says, Peter says, it's just that I've been having wild doubts lately. I've been wondering. You found out that it's one of many relationships. Let's see. Flash Thompson's like, my life was a disaster. My life sucks. I'm a real piece of shit, Peter. I had slick back hair. Harry has slick back hair.
He does. God, there's so much dialogue. Love her.
Yeah, right. He's like, do you love her? He's like, yep, okay, cheers to that. And then you see she's having like such a different party downtown. There's like a stripper in a cake. And then this other guy's like singing for her, and she's like, oh my god, this is so weird. And then you know, everyone's trying to like dance with her, and they're like, oh, weird. And so they're Harry and his best man Flash, and then Harry's there too. They're all walking down the street, and he's like, okay, well, I guess I'll get married. And they're like, good job. And then Mary Jane's still partying. She gets a note from Bruce saying, wish I could be there. Had to fly to L.A. yesterday for retakes. Back late tonight. We can still catch the 4 a.m. Concord. See you then. And then she's like, oh, this guy won't ever stop. And then she's like, I don't give a shit. Let's party. And they're partying. And then here we go. And then you said, like, this is the interesting part. It's like the real, what we've been waiting for in this issue. So,
right. Yeah.
So it's, he went back to his apartment. He's having a dream. And the narrator says, while on Chelsea Street, exhaustion finally overwhelms anxiety, and Peter Parker sinks into restless slumber. But the demons he thought he exercised by the night's activities still linger, lurk, and haunt. And he's like, oh, and he's saying to himself, dear, dearly be, and it's cutting to the, in his dream, he's dressed up as Spider-Man, he's getting married to Mary Jane, and fucking Doc Ock's, like, playing the organ, because he has eyes, and, like, arms, that's clever. And then,
so good.
So the minister saying, dearly beloved, we are gathered here to take snaps of Spider-Man getting married. The Daily Bugle will pay a fortune for them. And then Doc Ock says, that's insane. And then Cap says, that's the American way. And then Hobgoblin just says, die. Just my favorite one. No, die. Just die.
It's a plain face, too. Yeah,
just die. Why? I love it.
I do. I like in this dream, Cap America's like, capitalism. That's the American way. Like he's really like into it.
Pretty progressive. He's like, yep, that's capitalism for you.
Uh-huh.
And this also reminds me of the Simpsons episode where, like, Lisa's thing, she's at, like, a concert with all the other, it's like, you know, Garfunkel, and all that stuff.
Right.
Like, and it's like, everyone, and then they start playing, and everyone just starts booing them, and I'm like, I just want Peter to be like, why would they come to my wedding just so they would tell me to die?
I think that's all he did, yeah.
Yeah. And then it cuts to he's with Uncle Ben and Aunt May. He said, Uncle Ben says, take one of us all together, Spencer. And she's Aunt May says, yes, we're so proud of our nephew, Peter. And Peter's like, I'm really glad you can make it, Uncle Ben. And he's like, hey, you didn't think little thing being dead would keep me away. And then the minister says, if you'll slip the ring on Bride's finger now. And he's like, and then Flash is like, the ring, but I just had it. Where? And that's, and then, oh, Gwen Stacy has the ring. What? And she's like, I've got her right here. And they're like, Gwen. And then she's like, I just had to say goodbye, Peter. So goodbye. And then she kisses Peter, and she's like, wait, no, don't do it. And then Mary Jane's like, having second thoughts, Tiger, want to go talk them over in the limo. He's like, No, that's okay. And then the minister says, excellent. Then if there's anyone here who has reason why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony, let them say, speak now, or, and Spider-Man says, wait, Spider-Man's singling, but, oh, geez. And then it says, Kraven, Hobgoblin, all the rest. They captured the good guys, and now they're coming in after me? No, it's not me. They want it. But before we move on, I just love that. It's Kraven, Hobgoblin, the rest. And all the rest. Everyone's like, can't remember fucking, all of your villains' names.
It's like the again, Wizard like, and Kingpin are like, we're yeah, right like, here.
You know, and the rest. It's like the Simpsons of the, where Homer thinks that like his family died, and he's like, yeah, little Bart, little Lisa, little Marge, rest, and it's like the Maggie, rest. A TV, the cat, rest. All right, so they're about to kill him in the dream, and if you die in the dream, you're gonna die in real life. So
right.
He
goes fucking ham on these guys. Like he just starts whipping their asses here. It's pretty good too.
Kill all of these guys. Yeah. And then,
it's like I love it.
He kicks Kraven in the face and he's like, "Mary Jane, run!" And then he's saying, "Why can't you see what's going to happen? They want to kill you." And she says, "I know, but you're Peter. You wouldn't drop me or let me be hurt in any way, would you?" And he's like, God, you just know exactly what to do to get under my skin.
This
Mary Jane, can't stop them. Get out of here for love of heaven, please. And then it's like, run. And he's like, and it's like, and he's like, you know, in bed, like crying. And he's like, oh, man.
Man, my wife. That does feel like I like how even in his anxiety dream about his fiance, like almost being killed by his villains, like his brain still is making like making arguments for Mary Jane where when she's like, I know, but Peter, you wouldn't drop me or hurt me in any way. He's like, fucking A, this isn't the time for it. Can we just not do this right now? I really don't want to do it. Like, can we just get through this? We'll have this conversation later. You know, we'll talk it out then. But I love it.
So, and it says 3 a.m. elsewhere, and it says Mary Jane's at the airport, and it's that Bruce guy, and he's like, hey, do you want to ride? Or she's not at the airport, but he's like, do you want to ride to the airport? And she's like, really, Bruce, don't you ever think how I might feel? He's like, I think about it all the time. Hop in. And she's like, you're incorrigible. Still, I'd rather not be alone right now. I have a decision to make. And then same thing for Peter. He's on the Brooklyn Bridge. He's saying, I have a decision, Wendy, I swore you'd be the only girl I'd marry, but you know, you died, blah blah blah. And then it cuts the next day, and it says Sunday, high noon on Center Street. The steps in front of City Hall fill with the curious and the invited, with beautiful people and proud relatives all sharing a common trait. Smiles as big as Manhattan itself, and then it's just shown people, you know, you've seen crowds and people smiling, picture that in your head.
It's very much like it's a who's who of cast members. Someone we don't know on the bottom left, a woman with a veil, a bunch of people, and then Aunt May, J. Jonah Jameson. That's the only people actually name out these people. Yeah.
And then she's like, she arrives. She's like, sorry, I'm late, Peter. All this stuff, and then they're like, Frank Peter isn't here yet, and he's like he's not, and then they're like, oh, I'm sure there's Gina, and then he's just running behind. He's like, I had a little trouble getting dressed and wall crawling with my shoes on, and then so he's like, well, she's like, well, being late is fashionable, so I forgive you if you're ready now. And so they get ready, and then out.
It's,
and they're, you know, again, you know what marriage, a wedding looks like. They get married, and then it says, "I now pronounce you husband and wife." And it's like a big splash page where it's like a big dumb Spider-Man head's like looking on after them because like looming, you know, whatever. And he's like,
yeah. "I do like that." Yeah.
At the reception, J. Jonah Jameson's gonna say something stupid. So he's saying, "Eat, drink, and be merry, folks." The Daily Bugle is proud to be sponsoring this reception, but I'd want you to have a good time even if this shindig wasn't fully deductible under the new tax laws. Enjoy. And then, and she's like, you're kind of sagging at the edges, Peter. Not having regrets this soon, are you? And he's like, of course not, Mary Jane. I just wish I could afford.
God. Yeah, he's so
tired. I was like, 3 a.m. for 2 minutes.
I never sleep, like, all the time. God, just give me a fucking minute. He's just staring off into space, like, I just need to get through this week. It's okay. I'm good. And, I do like he's immediately just like, I want to go on a vacation so bad.
Yeah, right.
Which I do get that.
And she's like, well, guess what? I stole these tickets from that dumb shithead. It was a wedding present from a friend. Seems like he wasn't going to be using them after all. Did she kill him? He's not going to be using them.
That's the implication. I thought the epilogue was going to be him showing up and being like, hey, motherfucker, like, give me back my tickets.
Let's see. 2 weeks later, as a checker cab pulls away from the entrance to 410 Chelsea Street, they walk into the apartment. They just got back from vacation. They said, I always dreamed about being carried over the threshold, but with one hand, that's class. And then she's like, of course, doing other newlywed things like unpacking and thinking about what to fix for dinner are going to seem sort of mundane after that honeymoon we had. Wow, what adventure. Oh, we have to read another. Read all about
so
it.
Mad.
What? No.
So mad about this because I was like, man. Is a wedding issue. They're going to have all kinds of stuff going on. And they're like, what if we dedicated like 5 pages to Electro and like 5 more to just random errands on Peter's part? They're like, should we show the honeymoon and the vacation between Peter and Mary Jane? Probably get up to a lot of antics. Nah, we're good. Mm-hmm. We'll just push into another issue entirely.
Right.
God, it's insane.
After 2 weeks in the fabulous villa, what the heck are we going to do in a dump like this? That's the tiger. We're doing exactly what we'd be doing any place, living happily ever after, except, like, was it 2007 when they fucking did that weird storyline where Joe Quesada says that, like, oh, we got to, like, and then didn't, like, J. Michael Straczynski, like, quit because of that because it was, like, the most dog shit storyline that we're in. And it's called, what is it? It's a One More Day or what the fuck it's called?
Yeah. I like how you genuinely didn't know. I thought you were doing a bit there.
I've literally tried to. So if people don't know, that's so this is 1987. They were married for what do you say? Like, well, yeah, about 20 years.
Oh my
guess.
God.
But, yeah. So, and then so Joe Quesada, right? In the infinite wisdom that he had, he decided that because like he won. I guess the whole thing is that he wanted Peter Parker to go back to being like single and like having like more like adventures, horny. I guess, and stuff like being horny, stuff like that.
Like Spider-Man's gotta fuck. It's
so
get him back in there.
His decision was that I think it was like Aunt May gets shot during Civil War or during it maybe.
I think during Civil War because Kingpin hired somebody. I don't remember who. Maybe it's like Bullseye or like some assassin. Yeah. And they're like, you want me to kill this old lady? You got it. And they somehow still like still messed up. Like she still like kind of lived. Yeah.
And then,
it's insane.
So, so she gets hurt. So, she's about to die. So So Peter makes, I'm trying not to look this up.
Yeah.
Peter makes a deal with Mephisto, right?
Yes. Yeah.
To save her life in exchange that they just, which is such a weird thing because Mephisto's like, I'll make it sure that you are never married. And it's like, but then, so they, it retcons a few things. It brings Harry back, right? Osborn, I think.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And then it makes it that Peter and MJ never, ever got married, right? That they didn't even, like, I'm not looking this up.
I think I was just thinking, it's like they never got married and she doesn't remember
him. Something weird like that. But then I think that was a big
plot line. Yeah.
And I think they, and then a couple of years later, I think they try to like retcon that again, where they're saying like there's what they tell what happened during that, and then I think
right,
who knows,
because there is something. There was a storyline they did. It was like one. Fucking remember the title of it, but it was like
omit. It's like one moment in time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And what's the original?
That's it. I was one more day.
One more day.
That's what I was trying to. I was like, it can't be. So it can't be like one moment. Like that's what I was like. I was trying to remember. I was like, oh, it is exactly that. Never mind. Yeah.
That was pretty dumb. That was pretty bad. Yeah, and then
it's a bad error for Spider-Man. Yeah.
That was terrible. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the Spider-Man wedding annual number 21. So to coincide with Madam Web now in theaters. Give him your money. Give him all your money.
Yeah. It's nice.
Yeah. So that was the issue. Davey, any final thoughts or any categories you wanna bring up?
Yeah. I guess in terms of final thoughts, it's a fun issue. I definitely like seeing what they did with it. It definitely, I think I say this every time when we read like older comics, it reminds me why I like modern comics a lot. Yeah, like, right. There's a lot of times just, I think the storytelling techniques are like, have just evolved in such a, like, such a different way since comics back then. And it's, you know, it's one of the things, it's nice to revisit. But it's also good to kind of have the context for that now of just being like, yeah, this is fun. But there's a lot of times like I ask more out of my comics. Yeah, so right. It's nice to have like also like the modern stuff as well.
I love when like Gen Xers or boomers are always like, oh man, the comics from the 70s, the only years are so much better. I need to read one that's like so bad.
It's like, this is
like, so obviously there were boring. Good ones, but some of them,
right.
Most of them were very bad.
But that's kind of the thing. Yeah. Like I definitely think about that a lot where it's like the vast majority were just kind of made like, and I'm trying to think how to say this, like they were made under the, terribly. Like, honestly, yeah, that's the best way to put it.
But like under like the, sorry, we're gonna say like under different circumstances.
More like the like Marvel and DC machine, where it was very much like, all right, we need stories out each month and just kind of like get these issues out. I think there's definitely times where that can result in good stories, but there are times where it can feel a little bit like them, like, all right, let's pad this out for like the rest of the issue. Like we'll exactly. Put some. We'll put some scenes of like not really anything interesting happening in there,
right?
So you get to the next issue. Yeah,
exactly. All right. Yeah, like you said, it's a pretty boring and hard to read, so I give it a D-.
I like it. I'm gonna go with I'm gonna go with 4 bromos out of 7.
Whatever those are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I guess we did that. I like the last episode when you're like, let's go after old rating systems, like out of hammers. I'm like, what are you talking about? You're like, remember the first comic we read? I'm like, oh, yeah, Thor. Remember when we
used to read genuinely confused you?
And when we're like, oh, man, like the 6th issue. And then we're just picking like most dumbest shit that we can find and making fun of it in real time because it's more fun. Instead of actually like analyzing it and thinking
about
it.
Right.
It will go back to the good one. It will
find. Yeah. No, for sure. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Same 2 out of 7 bromos, whatever they are.
I like it.
Nice.
Yeah. To also answer your second question, I do have a segment I wanted to bring up.
What luck?
we talked a little bit about this earlier, but this segment is called From Prose to Books. I wish I had a treat. One sec.
No.
One sec. There's a bit I want to do for this.
That's good.
it's definitely worth it for. I don't know if that's coming up on.
I thought you're looking for your pages. It's flipping pages. Gotcha.
Yep. Wait a minute.
What was that? It was like
it was just an issue. I was.
It's on the back.
I was trying to leaf through. It's Dark Avengers.
Is that new or is that?
No, it's pretty old. So it's a Jeff Parker run, where he picked up after Siege. And I realized I bought this run on eBay like 2 years ago and I forgot I had it. Huh? I was like, oh yeah. Oh, I had this. It's just been sitting here. Yeah. But yeah. These aren't words. These are panels.
Mm-hmm.
From prose to panels. This segment is where we discuss what we think would work originally as a novel or as a work of prose, turning it into a graphic novel or comics.
Yeah.
Where is inspired by Slaughterhouse-Five by Kurt Vonnegut. Recently got a graphic novel adaptation by Ryan North. And The Great Gatsby also got one. I'm blanking on the creators for that one, but it kind of got me thinking about, like, I love the idea of, like, taking books and really getting to see kind of, like, how they come out in the graphic novel adaptation, like, what that does to the story, you know, what you can do, especially in those formats. So the question is posed to Ryan, what books would you want turn from literature into picture literature?
Good question. It's funny. Yeah, obviously, like, we're both like fans of Kurt Vonnegut, and Slaughterhouse-Five ever got turned into a graphic novel, but you and I'd like to see Breakfast of Champions, because I feel like that's already starts with,
oh my god,
it was him dabbling with, like, he used a lot of pictures, and especially in the beginning of the book, like, to get his point across. I think that would be fun to, like, even though that's the point of the book, is that, like, it starts with pictures and, like, has, like, fun, like, graphics and stuff, but I think that'd be a fun one to, like adapt into, like, a full comic book, like, to really show the world that in that way. I think that could be a really good, like, visual book, you know, if they did that.
I like that. Yeah, like, especially with that there's a lot of stuff that feels like, there's something I really like about Kurt Vonnegut, like, especially his sci-fi work reminds me a lot of, like Jonathan Hickman. And I can totally see, like, Breakfast of Champions having, like, a bunch of charts or, like, diagrams like that for, like, some of the sections.
Right.
And stuff like that.
And then
that's awesome.
One more. I got from the library, but I forgot how fucking big it is. Don Quixote by, obviously.
Oh, my God.
You know that, right? You're like, wait, what's that? Tell me about it.
So, who? Huh?
Who? What? What's this? Who's a good man. I forgot. It's like, I think this is like over 1,000 because it's all of it. Because he wrote it like a lot over time, I think. But
right.
You're a teacher. Tell me about it.
Yeah.
How did he do it? Yeah, because he wrote like, it's like several books kind of like in one thing, I think, right?
It's like several volumes. Like, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, so I forgot how big it was.
I like that. That's awesome. This whole thing, yeah.
But it'll be cool if it, maybe someone already has, but that'd be cool. Because I feel like it's a very visual book too. Like, where he describes the windmills, and like you could show like how he sees it in his mind, like, because he sees the windmills as dragons, I think, and like it'll be fun to like kind of show that within like a comic book or something like that. So
that'd be sick.
Yeah.
I love that.
So those are my choices. What are your thoughts?
So my first thought, so for one of them, I don't know how this would work, but it is the first one that came to my head was I wanted an adaptation of The Old Man and the Sea.
Oh, cool.
But I realized, like, it doesn't really have, like, as much of a plot. So I just want, like, Dave McKean to do, like, some kind of treatment like that and make it really scary and weird.
Yeah.
Like his Arkham Asylum work. Like, just make it really dreamy and kind of, like, I think there is something, especially about Hemingway, like, Hemingway, like his writing style, like can have this kind of surreal quality that kind of lends itself to, like, I think it'd be really fun to have something like that. The other one I was thinking was, I just started reading it. I don't know if you ever read this, East of Eden by John Steinbeck. It's actually really good. It's really cool too, because like it's all about like this wealthy family, California, and kind of like all about kind of like all their connections and stuff. And it's a really long book, but like kind of goes into like all the generations. I feel like something like that is just like it is one of those things where like it's definitely like an epic, but definitely in a way that I think like would be really cool to see that come to fruition. And just like, especially with that, where it's very much like the story of like an American family over generations, I think it'd be really cool to see like how they could handle that.
Yeah. Oh, that's cool. That's a great choice too. Yeah.
Thank you.
Nice. Yeah. I'll have to read that. So how long is it? Is it a long book? He read short ones, right? Steinbeck?
He does. Yeah.
He's a shorty.
He was. He's one of those shorty. He loved it. Yeah.
Grapes of Wrath is like a fucking short.
It's so.
No, wait. I'm thinking of Mice and Men. But they're.
That one's also super short. But yeah. And then that one. And then I know the Pearl is another one of his that's like technically a novella. Where he's like, no, can make this one short. He's like, keeping it on your toes. That's Johnny Stein for you.
He knows what his audience. I'm like, read this in the afternoon. You're good.
That's all you want. It's definitely. Sick. I was actually curious. Man, he has some crazy titles for his works too. Tortilla Flat. I don't know what that means. Wait, In Dubious is Battle.
Is this an episode of Are You Reading John Steinbeck?
I think it is. Steinbeck at me.
Are you reading? Exactly.
So it looks like, Of Mice and Men is 107 pages.
That's right. Yeah.
Where was the fire, Steinbeck? Like, you were just like, I get this shit done. Like, I'm knocking this out tonight. And then Grapes of Wrath. That's about 464 pages.
I'm wrong. It's long.
That's, East of Eden is, do they say? They don't say on Wikipedia, so that's definitely going to be pretty long. Right. We'll check real quick. That is, it's only about like 704 pages.
Oof. Okay.
So he went ham on that one. He's just like, let's do this. but yeah, that's from pros to panels for this week. Like thank you.
That was a good segment. I think that's a good way to wrap it up. That was a fun little segment to do. Do you have any ideas for, or should we stick with, unless you have any, like, should we DC books I can read without the app, or if
that's a good question,
someone would like to give us money to get the app again, or we could just read some from Marvel. But
good. I did have. Oh shoot! What was I looking up? I had an idea. I gotta look for it though. One sec. Should be able to actually find this real quick. I want to make sure this is the right one. One sec. An idea for something. I want to make sure. All right. So my pitch is I think we should do. All right. Well, it is 4 issues, but I think it'd be kind of cool. But it's also not Marvel or DC.
Okay.
Also, it might be hard to find.
Okay.
So there's a lot of qualifiers on this. But there was a 1992 4-issue miniseries entitled RoboCop versus the Terminator, written by Frank Miller and drawn by Walt Simonson from Dark Horse Comics.
That sounds like the best thing I've ever heard. How is this not in this, like, in like the presidential library? You know,
right. Require reading for all students in middle school. There is also a 1993 tie-in video game, RoboCop versus the Terminator.
Let's do how? What? How am I just hearing about this now?
It seems like awesome. It's insane. And the artwork, I was like, it's ridiculous. It's them at the top of their game, but yeah, I don't know why they took so long to make this as like a story, but they did.
Seems like it should have been like, it feels like Miguel de Cervantes should have been like, here's my next story about RoboCop versus a Terminator. You're gonna have to read it to find out what that is. So that should have been like literally the second modern Marvel,
right.
modern novel ever created, right after Don Quixote.
I wonder if I feel like Steinbeck, he probably had that. He had that in the can, like before he passed away. Though what I'm guessing. Like he probably, because it was like Grace or Bath versus the RoboCop versus the Terminator. And I was like, that's an interesting way of doing it. And then he eventually split those into two different works.
Probably.
Yeah.
All right. So. Think right, maybe I can find that online or something like that, and
yeah,
of course through the library and stuff. So I'll try to find that, and we'll come back in a couple weeks and let you know what we think, or we'll read something else. We'll find out soon. So, thanks for a good episode, and so we're gonna sign off. My name is Ryan,
and I'm Brandon.
All right, and well, you keep reading, and let us know if you want us to cover anything or. So let us know anything at all. Any comments out there? Just let us know you're listening. Just tell us. All right. Thanks, everyone. Bye.
Please tell us.